Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back with you in the studio this evening.
Glad you're back in the studio and not out in the mission field.
Yeah, I got a new horse. Is that, old, that my old horse? It just took like, too long to get here.
Oh man.
Yeah. So no, I don't have a horse. Although horses are very nice animals, I think they're.
They are.
Yeah,
they're very strong.
Yeah. But despite its power, it cannot save.
That's right.
That's
excellent.
That's scriptural.
Yes, it is.
We try to do that here on The Gift of Grace.
Where is that? Just read that recently.
Yeah. It's in the, is it a psalm or is it in Jeremiah? One of the two.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I got some good Jeremiah stuff we could do. Anyway, no, last week.
Yes, we digress.
We ended the show. You were saying something that I thought we should start this week's show with because it was a very powerful point that we always have to keep in mind as we're doing ministry.
Yeah. It was basically we're talking about the culture that we live in. And, you know, there is new revelations within the church from the state of Pennsylvania that there is sexual abuse. And that is, you know, it's a horrible thing that happens. And sin is everywhere in the world. And the point that I was getting at is that, you know, in the cross and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus pays the debt for our sin.
Yes.
In full.
Yes.
And that's our salvation.
Yes.
That's the good news of the gospel, that by his blood we're healed.
Yes. And that's why it's called good news.
Yeah. And so in spite of the things that happen in the world, the hurt that takes place, there's always forgiveness and healing in the name of Jesus and through his blood.
Yes.
And sometimes that's hard to see when something is happening, mm-hmm. especially as something as horrific as we've witnessed.
Yes.
Or heard about.
Yes.
But there is healing in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes us whole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth of the gospel. And that's, you know, we need to hold on to that because people can lose their faith over things like this.
Yes.
Very easily. And, but we follow the Lord, not a man.
Yes.
And that's something that is, you know, it's hard to talk about because it's a very emotional and delicate issue.
Yes.
And a very painful issue for people that have gone through it.
Yes.
And a very life-altering, you know, it's very life-altering for them.
Yes.
But there is hope in that Jesus heals.
Amen.
And he still wants to heal, and he also wants to forgive.
Yes.
You know, so that healing and forgiveness that is there in the cross that's available to us
mm-hmm.
is available in this yes. situation as well.
There's oceans of grace and mercy.
Yeah.
Not even oceans, it's unlimited.
Yeah, infinite.
And these revelations that have come in the Catholic Church have just been absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I read part of that grand jury report, and after a few minutes, I said, I don't even want to read this anymore.
Yeah.
And we've known about other things that have happened. I remember back before I was a believer with the TV evangelists that were caught up in various moral failings. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I remember at that time just kind of rolling my eyes saying, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. It shows you what they are. You know, I thought, oh boy, here's this guy telling me what I should be doing,
right.
and look what he's doing.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, there have been different things. I mean, there was just a thing even about Ernest Angley that broke over the last few days, and That guy's like 90 some years old.
Yeah.
But, and a lot of well-known teachers have fallen into, you know, moral failings. And I learned that lesson painfully as a new believer when I came pretty close to idolizing a pastor who became a very good friend of mine. And I thought this guy was so awesome. You know, he was like, he was going to be like my, my model for my Christian walk, you know, whatever.
Right.
And boy, when I found out about his moral failing, I stood there with my mouth open saying, what? I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And then you realize, well, you know, if it can happen to him, it can happen to me. If it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And we're all flawed. And I like to look back. I was thinking a lot about David the other day, King David. To write those beautiful psalms that he wrote, and to have God say, this is a man after my own heart. This is going to be the next king.
Yeah.
You know, Messiah is going to come from him.
Right.
When Samuel anointed him, it says the Holy Spirit fell on David and never departed.
Yeah.
You think, wow, man after God's own heart, Holy Spirit falls on him and never departs. He writes all these beautiful psalms. This guy must have just been an amazingly holy guy. And then you read, you know, 1st and 2nd Samuel, and you read the Kings, and you read, and you find out about the adultery and the murder and the deceit, and the, you think, wait a minute, how could this be possible?
Yeah.
And it's really quite amazing because, like we always say in a lot of our teachings, if God only used holy people to get, to do ministry, there wouldn't be much ministry getting done.
There wouldn't be anybody doing anything. Yeah.
That's right.
It's, you know, it's almost a paradox because life, you know, life teaches people about themselves and, you know, what they can do and what they can't do. And, and through our experiences, we can gain empathy for others that we can, when we walk with them, we can help them along the way.
Yes.
We can help them on the path. And as I was saying last week about, you know, a spiritual director or guidance in those areas, because if somebody is a disciplined person and they have grown close to the Lord, they can be a great benefit to a person, to another person. And so there's a real benefit in that because if I have, you know, taken the time to discipline myself to draw close to the Lord, have a prayer life, and try to tune out the distractions of the world to the best of my abilities, it's not just there for myself, but it's also there that I can help other people grow draw closer to the Lord as they're seeking the Lord.
Yes.
And that's a great comfort to people. That's a great help to people because, you know, we don't walk alone. You know, it's not just me and Jesus. If it was, it'd be pretty lonely.
Yes.
You know, you see from scripture that Jesus chose his 12 disciples, but then as he taught, some left. You know, and there's some, some of his teachings, they said, well, how can we even listen to this?
Can't even bear this.
Yeah, John chapter 6.
Yes.
How can we listen to this? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Is he out of his mind?
And they left.
They all left. And then what does he ask the disciples?
Are you going to leave too?
And they tell him, no, you have the words of everlasting life.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't walk alone. And we need to support our brothers and sisters in the Lord and encourage them. Because that's what we're, you know, we're part of God's family. And a lot of times we act and function as kind of maybe like a dysfunctional family.
Yes.
We don't think of each other as a brother or sister in the Lord. We think of that person over there, you know.
Yeah. But you know, the old saying, you can't be a Lone Ranger Christian.
No.
And it's really true. I mean, you try to live a Christian life solely by yourself. The writer to the Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of the brethren.
Right.
And having brothers and sisters that you worship with, you fellowship with, you talk with, you discuss scripture with, you talk about even areas where people need help. You know, you've you've all, I'm sure, heard of accountability groups that men have where, you know, a man says, well, I'm having really a big problem with this. And, you know, your brothers pray for you and encourage you. I mean, this is how we're supposed to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you make a great point there. And a lot of it is because, and the reason that the Lord set this up this way is because of our weaknesses.
Exactly.
It's very difficult for a person to just deal with their weaknesses on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned last week also, I can't remember exactly the word you used, but it made me think, you know, the word for disciple is the same root as discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, it's like every day you have to do the walk.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always cringe when I hear nowadays is, it's, well, it's me and Jesus. He loves me. I love him. So everything's cool.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, he says, pick up your cross and follow me, because every day as you walk your Christian walk, you're going to meet challenges. You're going to meet temptations.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to meet situations.
Yeah.
You're going to fall and say, oh, I can't believe I just did that. And you're going to have to get back up. I mean, it is a, like we always say, it's not a 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
It's a long marathon.
It is.
That all kinds of things happen along the way.
It is.
And, you know, despite what the prosperity preachers will tell you, if they were right, we wouldn't have heard this, take up your cross and follow me every day. Because every day is just going to be like more fun stuff for you.
Yeah.
More money, more things. And every day is just going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But Jesus doesn't tell us that.
No.
And so there's a certain discipline, just like when people say to me, and I'm sure to you all the time, oh, how do you know so much about the Bible? It's, well, because I study it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes hours a day of reading, studying, reading a couple of commentaries, praying on what you just read.
Right.
Think, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to show you something that you didn't get when you read it,
right.
Reading it again. It isn't like, well, I think I'll read Romans chapter 1 today and okay,
yeah.
Did it. And then on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a discipline. Now, you're right. We're forgiven by his blood sacrifice, by the unlimited grace that comes from that. But still, we're also called to be disciples. The Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, oh, go just go out and tell everybody everything's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're proclaiming the gospel and you're proclaiming the good news of the gospel, Jesus does come to set us free.
Yes.
He comes to set us free. You know, Jesus wants to heal us, as Father DeGrannis would always say, he wants to heal us on five levels. Physically, emotionally, relationally, psychologically, and spiritually. And because that really encompasses the whole makeup of the human being.
Yeah.
So, you know, physically, if there's a physical ailment, Jesus might want to set you free from that.
Mm-hmm.
He set many people free when he walked the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, emotionally, people can be healed of emotional challenges
mm-hmm.
that they can live a full, healthy life
mm-hmm.
instead of the bondage of fear or something like that.
Yes.
Psychologically, the same thing. Spiritually, you know, if we need to be healed spiritually, maybe my heart's hardened towards God. Maybe there's unforgiveness in my heart towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Or towards my brother and sister or someone who has wronged me, and then I can't forgive them. And I say I'm never going to forgive them. Because unforgiveness is really the biggest block to healing and walking with the Lord, hands down, besides anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Jesus said, you know, to his disciples when they said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this person? Seven times? No, not seven, yeah. But seven times seven or seven times 70. You know, it's infinite.
Yeah, that's why Peter thought he was going to get some points with Jesus by saying seven times.
Oh, yeah.
He thought
yeah.
Jesus was going to say, yeah, seven times, that'd be awesome.
the secular Peter or the yeah. carnal Peter thought, oh, man, I got this figured out. And, you know, we can do the same thing. We think we got the Lord figured out. We get yep. a little bit of knowledge and we go, aha, mm-hmm. now I got this figured out. You know, when I was at that other church, I never got this.
Yeah. Exactly.
And instead of rejoicing in the fruit of the Spirit and the yeah. love that God has just poured into your heart through Jesus Christ, what does Satan tempt us to do? You got cheated yeah. at that other church.
Yeah.
They didn't give you everything that you should have gotten. How dare they?
Yeah.
You're better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
That's right. And
that's
I'm mad at
them now. That's the
approach
he used with Eve.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, you're getting cheated on this bit, Eve.
and if you're falling for that,
yeah.
you're being robbed of the peace that Jesus Christ wants to give
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And then you can't really be an effective witness for the gospel yeah. because if you're going around and you're grumpy
yeah.
and mad and unforgiving, that's not what the gospel is about, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
And so you got to be careful. You got to be mature enough to recognize that.
Yeah. And a lot of problems are caused by not being able to forgive yourself of things that you've done in the past. You know, he's forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. And Satan loves to bring that up again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're a real Christian. Remember what you did in 1984? Remember when you were over there in 1992 and mm-hmm. you did that? And you think, oh, man, you know, when I was back there in 1992, it was, oh, he's never going to forgive me for that. But he has forgiven you for that.
Exactly.
But he's going to keep, you know, he's the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
And when I was a new believer, I was at a prayer meeting at a church that we both know in Twinsburg. And there was a woman speaking there who was from Malaysia. And I can still picture her. I don't remember what her thing was. This would have been back in like, I don't know, 96, 97. And she gave a talk and then she was praying over people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was brand new believer. I was just kind of like, wow, this is cool. And she came up and looked at me right in the eye and said, you're still thinking about this, this, and that. God has forgiven you for that, but you would need to forgive yourself. Mm. And then she went on to the next person. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How did you know that?
She got a word of knowledge.
But yes, yeah. exactly. And it was right on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, we've all had experience with that happening.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why the Holy Spirit does that with people, because it's to teach us a lesson. Like she says to me, you know, he forgave you for that, but you haven't forgiven yourself. Why do you keep bringing it up in your mind?
Yeah.
You're forgive, forget about it.
Yeah.
And the enemy likes to bring, you know, the law, capital L. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a pretty miserable job. No yep. matter what law you're looking at, you've failed it pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, yeah, I'm doing pretty bad. But, well, that's why in Galatians 2, he says, I think it's 5 or maybe it's 4, maybe it's 5, where he says, you know, the law is the tutor that drives us to the cross. Because you realize, I can't do this on my own. I there's no way I can keep all these laws, all these rules, all these things. I'm a miserable failure. And in fact, you are a miserable failure. And that's why you need to go to the cross. Because if you could earn your salvation, you could just do it. And then it wouldn't be grace because you've earned it. It wouldn't be unmerited favor. It would be merited favor. Like paying somebody a wage when you agree to have a job done at your house or where you work or whatever. You don't get what you deserve. You get way more. Like you pointed out, you know, it's life abundantly.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, I got paid $250 for doing this job at this guy's house.
Right.
Because it isn't something that you earn.
Mm-hmm.
It's an overwhelming amount of favor.
Yeah.
That's grace.
Yeah. The abundance of what God blesses us with is immeasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And we've probably will fully not even understand it or comprehend it here on this earth.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's imperative, I think, in our culture today that we understand the nature of God for who he is and not who we want him to be.
Yeah.
Because God is love and mercy. He's also justice and truth.
Yes.
And they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do whatever you want and think that everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tempt the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
God's not mocked. And he didn't come as a joke.
Right.
He came to set us free. And so if we go back to our sin nature, then we basically nullify what Jesus Christ has done for us. We choose, not God, mm-hmm. but we choose.
Yeah.
And, you know, in several weeks ago in my prayer time, I was, as I was praying, I got this understanding of, you know, there's people who are bitter. There's people who are disgruntled with their walk with the Lord, and because they, and I'll go back to what I was talking about earlier, because they have a limited knowledge of God, they have a limited understanding, but they think they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know the nature of God. Well, you know, they see something bad happen and they go, why would God let that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why would God condemn me for this? Why would God condemn me for that? But they don't even know God.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even understand the depth of his love or his mercy, but yet they judge God. And they walk around and they do this in a manner that is very displeasing to God,
mm-hmm.
but also very detrimental to other people around them, because it takes time to develop a relationship with someone.
Yes.
Thus, it takes time to develop a relationship with God.
Absolutely.
And if you're not willing to sit down with somebody and say, let's talk, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't even do that with God, who I can't see,
yeah.
but I know is here,
yeah.
how am I going to do it with my brother and sister?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
So it's really about communication and developing a relationship with the Lord where... In our culture today, everybody points fingers at everybody. Quick judgments.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what's going on. I've got y'all figured out, and don't tell me any different because you said this, and I meant it, and I took it to mean something else, and I let my imagination run wild with me, and now I know the whole story.
Yeah.
And it's absolute
yeah.
fantasy land.
It's like when you thought I didn't know the difference between major and minor chords. Oh, wait, you were right.
Oh.
No, you were right.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Oh, jeez.
There's not that many people.
Now I find out.
Not that many people know that about me.
No. It's the third.
No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, snap judgments are very common. And people have carried around so much baggage their whole life that they're still reacting to things that they learned about somebody else when they were 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they still think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole nother, we could do a whole nother few shows on that.
And really, we become prisoners in our own mind.
Yeah.
And I really get the sense God wants to set people free from that.
Exactly.
Jesus came to set us free.
Yes.
Emotionally, psychologically, relationally.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yes.
And the power is in his name.
Yeah.
And the power is in his blood, and the authority is in his name.
Yeah. Paul writes that we're free because of that. We're set free because of him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not set back into bondage.
Right.
We're given freedom. And, you know, if you don't understand the sin problem and the grace that comes, you know, you don't get what the Christian life is all about. You don't get why the gospel's good news.
Yeah.
But, oh no!
Oh,
what were you
no.
gonna say? Go ahead, make your point.
I was gonna talk about Galatians 4 that, you know, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, yes. "Abba, Father." So you're no longer Woo. A slave, but a child,
Woo.
And they're an heir to God.
Woo! That's awesome. That's one of my favorite verses.
We'll have to get back to this next week.
Yes. Anyway, we hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would come to the full knowledge that you are an adopted son and daughter, of the Most High God, Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gilliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.